Hi, I'm David Solomonoff. I'm the president of the Internet Society of New York, and I want to welcome you to our INET conference today, sponsored, of course, by the Global Internet Society, which has done tremendous things for us. Let's see here. Very quickly, we're going to be live streamed and recorded. And there, hopefully, let's see here. There's supposed to be a link there to the live stream, and we're also going to have back channel here where we can have remote participation, and also there's supposed to be a link which will show you how to text a question or a comment to us. Okay. Also, we have a very important an evaluation form in your package, and we really appreciate your feedback. It helps us do other cool things, bigger and better. So, first, I guess what I'm going to do is introduce Sally Wentworth, who is the Regional Bureau Director for North America and the Senior Manager for Public Policy for the Internet Society. And prior to joining the Internet Society in 2009, she was the Assistant Director for Telecommunications and Information Policy in the Office of Science and Technology Policy at the White House. And then prior to that, was a policy advisor on Internet policy at the Department of State. So.
Thank you, David, and thank you, everyone, for coming. I want to welcome you on behalf of the Internet Society to our INET New York, INET North America. I wanted to take a quick moment and ask the audience to see how many of you for whom this is your first Internet Society event. Wow. Well, we want to welcome you to the Internet Society. We hope this day gives you a very good sense of the Global Internet Society, the work that we're doing, the mission that we're advancing, and also introduce you to our New York chapter. The Internet Society has presence all over the world, and we try to take action through local communities, and our New York chapter is really one of our great chapters in the Internet Society. And so I want to thank David and thank Evan and Jolly and the other members of the Internet Society New York chapter who have really helped to make this event possible. Just to give you a quick overview of the Internet Society, we are a nonprofit organization. We were founded in 1992 to advance the cause of the open Internet around the world. We fundamentally believe that the Internet is good and that it works to the benefit of users. And the discussion that we're going to have today is really focused on a choice that the Internet Society believes that we're about to make, that the Internet is at a crossroads, that the future of the Internet depends upon this notion of innovation at the edge, that the user can impact the future of the Internet. But we believe that a number of the decisions that people are making, whether it's users or business or governments, can really impact the ability of the Internet to continue to grow and develop in an open fashion. So that's what the New York INET is intended to discuss. We have a lot of wonderful speakers today. We hope that you will participate. There will be opportunities for Q&A. There's a back channel feed for questions. And we really hope that this is a participatory discussion. That is the Internet Society. It's an opportunity for participation. So with that, I'm going to show you a brief video about the Internet Society, just to give you a little bit more background, since we do have a lot of new members here in the audience. And then I'll conclude.
Thank you. Brings together tens of thousands of individuals, like you, and hundreds of businesses, governments, and other organizations from around the world, all committed to keeping the internet open, shared, and transparent. The Global Internet Society is a community that tackles issues at the intersection of technology, policy, and education that are key to the internet's continued success. You can be part of making sure the internet continues to promote technical innovation, social equality, and economic development. Join the Internet Society today.
So I think that most of you have already joined the Internet Society, so the next step is to be empowered and to take action. Discuss, participate today. We have a good program, and we hope you walk away feeling inspired to continue this mission in your local community. Thank you very much.
I'd like to introduce Rachel Stern, who is the Chief Digital Officer of New York City.
Okay. So thank you so much, David. Thank you, Sally. And everyone, welcome to New York City. This is an enormous honor to be here today for such an incredibly important conversation and discussion, and I'm really, really looking forward to hearing what everyone has to say. Just to frame everything a little bit before our very exciting keynote speaker starts, I'd just like to speak a little bit about New York City's digital strategy and to give a little bit of context to some of this discussion in terms of how here in New York City we're looking at these evaluations. So I'll speak shortly about that and of course, the context that, you know, none of this would even be possible without the innovations that of the individuals who are here today. So just as a quick background, I recently started with the City of New York, and the mayor 3 weeks ago unveiled his roadmap for the digital city, which looks at very comprehensively and holistically where New York City is in terms of connecting New Yorkers and allowing them to connect with each other, delivering services, and where we hope to be. And the report that the mayor presented was divided into three parts. The first part looks at where are we today. The second part looked at what could we be doing better. And the third part examines, well, what is our plan to get there? And the first part, it was really thrilling to see that we're actually in a really great place to begin. So, New York City through digital channels alone reaches over 4 million unique individuals a month. That's 2.8 million on NYC.gov, the city's website, and another 1.2 million through social media channels such as Twitter, Facebook, and then even email newsletters. On NYC.gov, which has nearly a million pages all told across the city, the city's Department of Information Technology and Telecommunications, and very excited to see that the city's chief information officer and commissioner of that department is here today, maintains a 99.99% uptime rate and does a really phenomenal job of supporting all of these different digital endeavors. The city has over 200 social media channels and over 100 individuals who are their day-to-day job is making sure that they are using these tools to effectively connect with their constituents. To give a few examples of some of the ways that the city is using information technology and digital media to unlock more information and put more power and control in the hands of New Yorkers, earlier this year, the Department of Buildings introduced QR codes on construction permits so that now anytime a New Yorker, and New Yorkers always want more information, sees maybe a construction site where they have a few questions, they can hold up their smartphone, they can read that QR code and instantly get the full history of the person who's managing that site, prior violations, and a phone number to call them if they're interested. In addition, the mayor's office, at NYC Mayor's Office on Twitter, holds a weekly initiative called Ask Mike, using the hashtag Ask Mike, that encourages New Yorkers to ask questions of the mayor. And every Friday, he responds to a few of those questions on his weekly radio show, breaking down barriers and really creating a direct line of communication. In addition, again, at DOIT, the city's IT agency, the Geospatial Information Services team has created a phenomenal resource in the 311 service request map. So that is a map that's maintained by the city that is updated on a regular basis to provide really complete transparency and accountability for the city's efforts. And it does this by providing over 15 different types of service requests, which are, you know, essentially 311 complaints and things that New Yorkers want to be resolved. They overlaid this on a map divided up by community board, and it shows here the number of requests, here's what's been filed in the past 5 days, and really creates a fantastic tool for accountability for citizens. And then again, you know, on the lighter side, we see that the Department of Health has created the Department of Transportation has created a Tumblr blog called The Daily Pothole that tracks also with great transparency how many potholes were fixed that weekend and shows on an overlay the map of how these things are being fixed. And this is just a sample. In addition, one of the most fascinating and really impressive achievements of the city is its open data initiatives. And this includes the New York City Data Mine, which is maintained by, again, by DOIT, by the city's IT agency, provides nearly 400 open data sets that developers are able to use to create applications, tools, features, et cetera. And to market and incentivize individuals to use these data sets, the city has created the NYC Big Apps Competition, which is sponsored by BMW iVentures. So the $40,000-plus dollars in prize money that is provided every month or every year is essentially at little or no cost to taxpayers. And some of the results that we've seen from this is the Roadify app, which is a social transit app that enables New Yorkers to report in real time their social transit experience. For example, you can find out ahead of time if your subway line is maybe running a little bit behind, if there's a free parking spot nearby, or even if there's traffic on the road. And that's a great example because it's not just user-generated. It's pulling from Department of Transportation information. It's pulling from the MTA, and it's pulling from Google Transit. So it shows the advantage there. And a last example from the NYC Big Apps competition is the Don't Eat At application, which was another winner, which integrates with Foursquare, a location-sharing platform, so that if you check into a restaurant in New York City, and that restaurant may be in danger of being shut down because of health code violations, you immediately get an alert on your phone that lets you know that maybe you want to reconsider that choice. So, and in addition to that, the city has a 98% residential broadband access rate and has just surpassed Boston to become number 2 in venture funding nationally. So by all these different indices, New York City is really in a phenomenal position. But, you know, as New Yorkers, we're never going to rest on our laurels, and we're going to continue to innovate. So as part of this investigation and this evaluation, we also asked New Yorkers, what do they want? What are they not yet seeing that we could be doing a better job of in New York City government? And number one was internet access. And in many different forms, people wanted Wi-Fi on the subways and in public transport. People were interested in greater broadband connectivity. When we were talking to businesses, many of them wanted greater broadband connectivity, faster broadband connectivity, so that they could ramp up what they're doing. Also on the business side, engineering talent was a major request. So after evaluating all of these different input points, and we had over 4,000 points of input, both through in-person meetings, through meetups, through workshops, and through tools like Quora and Twitter and Facebook and Tumblr, we developed, holistically as a city, a digital roadmap that centers on four pillars, which are access, open government, engagement, and industry. And we really believe that that in order to fully realize the city's digital potential, we need to be focusing on all of these things at once because they're so interrelated. On access, the city is one of the recipients of the Broadband Technologies Opportunity Program, and through DOIT and the Department of Education will be bringing nearly 80,000 individuals broadband internet access, starting out with sixth graders who are receiving cash assistance, and that enables them to get broadband at home and the training they need. Every branch of every library in New York City currently has Wi-Fi. That will be further supported and expanded. And the city continues to support public-private partnerships that bring Wi-Fi to more public spaces. And just last week, AT&T joined the mayor to announce Wi-Fi internet access in 20 parks. And we also saw earlier Dumbo is getting Wi-Fi. In the open government space, so the city is already doing a phenomenal job. The next steps that DOIT is really taking the lead on is that we will be introducing an API. So in addition to these data sets, we will be unveiling an API that enables developers to create apps that are constantly up to date and receiving real-time feeds, and also expand that to 311, the city's customer service platform that helps individuals navigate all of these different, all of the many different city agencies. And that's another way that the city will be decentralizing and unlocking the potential of New York City as a platform. And this will be called New York City Platform to reflect that. Finally, with engagement, we're bringing greater coordination internally to those 100-plus social media managers, et cetera, and also introducing one-stop shops on Twitter, Facebook, Foursquare, and Tumblr that, for instance, incentivize New Yorkers to visit more public spaces. And lastly, in the industry section, there's an enormous amount that the city's Economic Development Corporation does, and I'm sure many of you who are from New York are familiar with this. And they will just be continuing to build on that with more affordable workspaces in the Bronx, in Brooklyn, and with the plan to issue an RFP for a new or expanded applied sciences facility in New York City. And we really believe that by cultivating that next generation of engineers, that's going to provide the talent pool that the city needs to continue to support these innovations. So thank you for allowing me to sort of share with you some of that. And now it's my great, great honor to invite to the stage Sir Tim Berners-Lee. And I'll just do a quick introduction, as I'm sure you're all very impatient, as I am, to hear what he has to say. So again, here at the city, our goal is to use this technology, to use digital technology to connect New Yorkers and provide them with the services and information that they need. And essentially, none of this would have been possible without the inventions of Sir Tim Berners-Lee. Back in 1990, he invented the World Wide Web. To add a little more context and specificity, that's, you know, the first ever web server, first ever URL, first ever HTML page and link, and first ever web browser. And without enabling this level of innovation, truly none of what we're doing today would even be possible. In addition to this, he is the director of the World Wide Web Consortium, W3C, founder of the World Wide Web Foundation, a senior researcher and holder of 3Com Founders Chair at the MIT Computer Science and Artificial Intelligence Laboratory. He is the director of the Web Science Trust, and in April 2009, he was elected as a member of the United States National Academy of Sciences based in Washington, D.C. And I'm incredibly humbled and honored to introduce you now to Sir Tim Berners-Lee.